Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Oh, we're surprised he fell to us. I mean, sure, he's probably a murderous psychopath, but other than that, the guy can play.
SI's Russ Dellinger.
I've never been to a football game where at kickoff, it's virtually empty. At halftime, instead of everybody going in and it being empty, it's the most full. And then after the bands leave, everybody leaves and it goes empty again.
And SI's Pat Forty.
They got a quarterback who knows how to, knows what it's like to play Georgia's defense in Bo Nix, who, by the way, will be the second best quarterback on the field. Dan Wetzel, law firm.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. Games are coming, gentlemen. Less than 2 weeks away, we have football games. Week zero. So we're actually like next week be picking games.
Wow.
Oh, discussing matchups.
Getting ready to make our listeners scads of money again like we did last year.
Get rich. Get rich. Listen to the College Football Inquirer. Rich in spirit. We guarantee nothing more than that. What I wanted to do as our gimmick, our topic gimmick this week, because you know I love a good gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
Is let us have a draft of the best non-conference football games of the 2022 season. What game are you most excited? I guess that's the only criteria. It could be for any reason, and you can defend your choice as is. As such, what game are you most like this season? We know there's a lot of great conference games, of course. You know, the Alabama-Texas A&M game, I think, will still have a little bit of sauce, even though that's kind of died down.
I have a feeling it'll roar back to life by October 8th.
For sure.
I don't know about fully. Doesn't seem like Jimbo wants to continue it. Of course, when you get closer to that, you got to really, that's why I always respect the UFC fighters that keep talking smack, like right, even at the weigh-in. It's one thing to say something, but then when you get locked in a cage with somebody, you're still going at it. Yeah, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, all that. So these are the non-conference games. Now, my only thing is, here's a question for the panel. Do we count Notre Dame's ACC games?
I was wondering about that because I've got a Notre Dame game kind of circled against a certain perennial ACC powerhouse.
Yeah, the Clemson visits on November 5th. So, I mean, why not, right?
Sure. Notre Dame belongs to no league, as they'll happily tell you.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you ask the athletic director, he would tell you that is a non-conference game.
That's all right. Games are non-conference. All right. I just want election integrity here, people. Okay.
Don't we all?
If you ask the Clemson side, they might say that it's a conference game. Yeah. They would really like it to be, very much.
What is it? Yeah, it's like, what's the definition of this? All right, let's start. Ross, I will grant you the first pick in the draft. Who you got?
Well,
what game you
this is going to be kind of a weird one. It's probably not a great first pick, but it's the one to me that is the most interesting. And that is the NIL Bowl, Miami at Texas A&M, which comes on September 17th. The NIL Bowl, baby. So two teams with the biggest collectives, or at least in Miami's case, the biggest booster kind of involved in NIL, and at Texas A&M's case, probably the single biggest, most influential, maybe collective in the NIL space. So the NIL Bowl, the Aggies and the Hurricanes, mark it down.
I like it because that first. You got Mario Cristobal, new coach there at Miami, and we'll see if A&M's ever going to live up to the hype.
Every game other than the Alabama game is like a pressure cooker. And now that's a pressure cooker for A&M.
Yeah.
I mean, they with that recruiting class, even though they're not fully formed, but this is a season that you cannot just be dropping games to Miami or rebuilding Miami.
Right.
In their I think their recruiting class was the best ever in the history of the rankings this past year. And I think it's pretty much every number one recruiting like signing class since 2000 or 2001 has won a national championship the next 4 years. So pressure is on.
I believe they had 16 top 100 players.
That's ridiculous.
It's going to work pretty well for you. All right. Pat?
Okay. I'm going probably a little more obvious and one that I will be attending and covering. Notre Dame at Ohio State in the Horseshoe, September 3rd. I'm not sure it's going to be like a super close game. There's a chance Ohio State boat races them. But the interesting things to me there are, okay, let's see what Marcus Freeman has put together with a full offseason to work. He was kind of the stopgap emergency guy for the Fiesta Bowl. Now he's had 9 months to form this team. And then secondly, I want to see exactly how good Ohio State's offense looks. And the Notre Dame defense should be good. Notre Dame's got some real studs on that defense at all three layers. So I am super excited to go there and see that. I think there's not much separating Ohio State from Alabama, I think, at 1-2 at the top of this thing. So I want to see exactly whether Ohio State really has the goods to hang with Alabama or whoever else will be the best in the country, and also how much better the defense is with Jim Knowles as coordinator.
Well, no question, a lot of subplots there. Marcus Freeman's first regular season game returning to Ohio State.
Yeah. Former player there. And
national implications. It's probably going to be 2 versus 5. That said, Ohio State should be favored by double digits at kick. Tyler Buchner going to handle the deal for Notre Dame. I mean, there's a lot at stake.
Yes.
Absolutely no question about that. All right. I am going to go in a little different direction. We all know that I like fights. I like anger. I like animosity. I like hurt feelings. I like nastiness.
Controversy.
So I am going to go with the September 1st clash in Pittsburgh. The backyard brawl is back.
Yep.
After an 11-season hiatus that never should have happened. West Virginia technically on a 3-game win streak, but that ended in 2011. There's the epic game in 2007 when Pitt upset West Virginia and ended what very, very possibly could have been a national championship for West Virginia. Certainly,
I was there, baby, and that's still one of the most stunning things I've ever seen.
I was there, too. It was unbelievable. Never thought of coming 13-9. Schools, if you do not know the geography of the area, are separated by, what, an hour? I don't know, maybe a little more.
Yeah, about that,
West Virginia's right on the border. Morgantown's right in the border. You got the mountains. You know, all the West Virginia people be coming up. They won't be able to ride that little trolley system they've got there to the game. You ever seen that weird public transportation system of West Virginia?
No. No, Milan Pusker Stadium?
Yeah, you take these little, they have like the smallest subway system ever, but it's like, it's above ground. It's like the opposite of the Tokyo subway system. It has like 3 stops and like moves like 8 people an hour. I don't know what the thing's called.
I'll be covering that one up in Pittsburgh. I'm excited about it.
All right, it's called the Personal Rapid Transit, the PRT. I'm pretty sure it only has 3 stops.
It's 5, according to Wikipedia.
Okay, I'm 5 looking at stops.
It now. Yeah,
it runs from like downtown Morgantown to campus. It's more like an airport train.
Yeah,
like the Atlanta Airport's train is 40 times bigger than this. Do you see it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's kind of like if you put a Sprinter van on a railway system or something. I mean, like, what exactly is the point?
Well, to move people around Morgantown.
Oh,
Pat.
My God.
Okay.
Is this real?
It's real. You've ever been to Morgantown? These little train rides by every once in a while.
I've been once, I might go back here in a couple of weeks, actually, preparation to cover that game. I'm going to go visit them, and I'm going to have to load up on this thing.
Absolutely. You got to ride the PRT.
Wow.
The PRT gets you around, man.
I wonder if it does bar hopping.
Oh, absolutely, because you go downtown.
What's the famous bar there? Mutz? Is it Mutz? M-U-T-T-S? Mutz? I think it's Mutz. One time I was in there far too late. I needed one of those trains to pick me up.
Moonshine is what it's called. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I had one night where it got late early in Morgantown.
I once was in a bar in Morgantown and saw three different girl fights.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Anyway, that has nothing to do with the game, but that tells you the spirit of things.
There you go. I'm very sad this game is in Morgantown.
Morgantown's better, but I'm happy it's back. Backyard brawl, kick things off September 1. Let's do it. It's the first game, basically, other than the Joe Buck game. I think that's at the same time. What was that? Purdue, Penn State, something like that.
Yeah. Penn State at Purdue.
That Fox traded for Joe Buck.
Yep.
And this is the game I want. I love the spite. Let's do this. Let's get nasty. I hope this game never goes away again.
I like it.
I'm excited about covering it. I was on the phone with Shane Lyons the other day, actually. I asked him how this game came about, and he said it was one of his first priorities when he took over AD. He called the Pitt AD, and they got together. And yeah, I think they extended it. They extended it already another X amount of years, too. So it's good. At least like going to be them. 10 years, 5 to 8 to 10 years or so now.
Yeah, enough with the conferences. Like, let's play games people really want to see.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sold out. I know that. Well, you know, of course. I mean, you're not getting that out of a conference game. Most Clemson showing up.
Right.
Or Notre Dame, if that's a conference game. All right. Ross?
Yeah.
Second round.
Kickoff round two.
Round two.
Give me Alabama, Texas, September 10th, week two. So many storylines here. Obviously, Nick Saban, former protege, Steve Sarkisian, went to the coaching rehabbed, leading Texas into what feels like a really big year for him, you know, after the 5-7 last year. And the late season collapse just feels really big. This just feels like a huge one for him. And then, you know, Texas is the team that Saban won his first national championship against with Alabama, of course, in the Rose Bowl, right? Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah.
2009.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously Texas is the program too, that may or may not have courted Nick Saban, right? About 10 years ago or 12 years ago. Was probably
$10 million a year at the time. People were like, no way with $10 million.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been
worth it.
Yeah. More. And I firmly believe it was more serious than people think. I feel like anyway, I've always felt like that, but so big one there. Austin, obviously too. Great place that should be rocking. My gosh, I can't imagine the Crimson in Austin. It would be incredible.
Problems. The game is early.
Yeah, noon, sizzling.
11 a.m. Austin time, significantly cutting down on the drunken factor.
And cutting up on the amount of sweat in the building, because I'm sure it's supposed to be 90, 95 degrees.
By the second half, that stadium is just going to be an oven. But here's the other thing, too. Now, Texas, despite getting that number one vote in the coaches poll last week, the preseason supposedly is not going well for the Longhorns. They had couple of major injuries in their first scrimmage, a starting receiver and a starting offensive lineman reportedly out for the year. They got another receiver who's been suspended after taking a tire iron and bashing a boot off of his car that was put on for parking by parking enforcement. Alabama transfer. That's right. And then, Quinn Ewers, apparently, allegedly, if you believe the scuttlebutt, has not yet seized the day as the mega recruit quarterback and maybe still in a tussle with Hudson Card to see who's going to be the starter.
Do you want to be the starter? Do you want to be the starter for that?
Yeah, when Will Anderson and those guys are coming at you?
You're like, yeah, you got this. Got this, Hudson.
Yeah, right.
I'll be back after this.
Yeah.
If you get a parking boot on your car, do not destroy the boot.
Good advice.
Just pay the tax. You're done.
How did he do it, I wonder?
We've all in our lives, you know, like probably flirted with a lot of parking infractions. You're always, I can get away with it. Oh, they won't come by. Well, if they get you, they get you. You have to own up then.
Yeah.
How do you destroy a boot? A parking boot?
He took a tire iron and bashed it.
Gee. Yeah. Wow.
Bashed it till it broke off.
$600 is what a boot is.
Strong tire iron.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know a guy who has a parking boot.
Really?
And he can put it on and off his vehicle, and he uses it to illegally park.
That's brilliant.
To my point about how, yes, we've all flirted with.
He carries this thing. He lugs this thing around with him. This is hysterical.
I'm trying not to give the plot away
because I don't want to. It's you, isn't it, Dan?
It's not me. It's not me.
I'm going to look for that next time I'm in Greater Detroit, the booted car that is a fake.
Scofflaw.
Let me put it this. There's an event that parking. All right. I'll say what it isn't. Okay. This is what it isn't. Let's say he lives in Ohio and wants to get a really good spot for the Ohio State football game or a Cleveland Brown game.
Okay.
And he gets down the night before. It's like he has a trailer, and then he puts the boot on the trailer, and then no one messes with it because the cops figure
somebody else,
I guess,
yeah,
the boot. And then he shows up and he's got his spot done. He just walks down. He's got all his stuff in the trailer, and then he tailgates at this event.
Amazing.
And then later, when no one's looking, he comes back with his truck, takes the boot off, and drives right away.
Brilliant.
It's like the fake violin homeless guy, right? That we talked about, to be wary of.
That's it, so, man. Just come here for
your own boot. You can park wherever the hell you want.
Yep. Come here for your criminal scams. We'll have them for you.
So that's it. My story is not the story. Although, go ahead, bust those guys. Maybe you catch somebody down there. I don't want the Columbus PD contacting me. Just saying, if that was it. All right, let's get me out of trouble here. Not me, but somebody. I didn't. It's not my boot. You pick a game.
You came close to burning your source there, but
I did not. I really didn't, but maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
All right,
it's a great scheme, isn't it?
Oh, it's a great scheme. Wonderful. It really is. I mean, if you're going to have a boot, then yes, put it to use.
Yeah.
All right, my game slightly off radar because there's so many other good games on this first weekend, but I love this. Saturday, September 3rd, Utah at Florida. We're going to find out two things. Can Utah be a top five, top 10 team that they're going to be in the preseason polls? Can they be a Pac-12 team worthy of consideration for the playoff? Can they go into the swamp, the heat of the swamp, and beat an SEC team on the road? And then how does Florida look with Billy Napier as their coach? I don't think this is a flush hand he's got in terms of talent, but, you know, are they ready? Are they coached up? Are they good enough to beat Utah? One thing with Kyle Whittingham, too, his teams have been slow starters in the last few years. He has not done very well out of the gate, and then his teams get better. That's not really an option if you want to try to make the playoff. Let's see, you get this big non-conference opportunity in Gainesville. You got to be ready right away.
Yep, and boy, like you said, it's going to be sticky, isn't it? It's in the cross-country flight. I wonder if they're going to go fly over there on Thursday. You know, a lot of teams do that from out west. I don't think they had made that decision when I talked to some people over there, but I'm guessing they have a decision now. But that should be interesting, the whole cross-country and the swampiness. I feel like Florida fans are already bracing for a loss in a 7-5 season. It just seems like that's what they're bracing for. It's going to take
a little Billy, beaten down little, right now.
Yeah, they are. It's going to take old Billy maybe a little while to get going. He certainly seems to be doing it on the recruiting trail. You know, speaking of NIL, we're talking about the NIL Bowl. I mean, they got something cooking over there when it comes to NIL too. So
had a big weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got a couple of big time commits. So
a lot of concerns about Gator recruiting, but it is turning around, like you said.
Yep.
They just opened up that ridiculous new facility. I think that was a nice thing to have recruits on campus for.
Yeah, I have heard it is tremendous. I've heard it's tremendous. Of course, every one of them are tremendous, except John Calipari's apparently. But we'll get to that.
We will.
I agree with you on Utah. They win this. They very well could be 6-0, hosting USC in mid-October in what would be a really look at me game for the Pac-12 that they need. They also get at Oregon late.
Mm-hmm.
So get by this and get that credibility. Absolutely. Utah could be that fourth team that gets into a playoff that we're looking at. If Clemson steps up, you know, slips up or anything like that. All right. On that same vein, similar, I think higher stakes, Oregon versus Georgia in Atlanta on September 3rd. the first week one. Absolute monster matchup, right? Reigning national champions. What do you got? Is there a step down? They lost so much talent. Is there a hangover in any way? Technically neutral, not really. Oregon, just a year ago, walks in and beats Ohio State in the horseshoe. So they're not scared of coming across the country to do this. Brand new coach in Dan Lanning. He's taking on the school he just came from in Georgia. Does he have any insight? Can this guy coach? Oregon's recruiting very well. Obviously, if Oregon beats the Bulldogs, they could be in tremendous position to make a playoff run. Absolute monstrous game in Atlanta. I don't know if the Ducks have enough, but there's a lot at stake in this one.
They got a quarterback who knows how to knows what it's like to play Georgia's defense in Bo Nix, who, by the way, will be the second best quarterback on the field. Dan Wetzel, law firm. Law firm.
I gave law firm his flowers all offseason. I don't know.
I'll just keep bringing it up.
The law firm of Stetson Bennett.
I'm not going to say that Georgia or that Oregon has more talent than Georgia, but this was the Oregon team. And I just talking to Mauro Cristobal a few weeks ago, I visited down there in Miami, and this is the one they were like building up for. He was telling me about how difficult of a decision he had in leaving Oregon, and partly because it was the excitement and the 4 years of recruiting and building up for year five or whatever, the year four, year five, it would have been for him, maybe year five. And this was like the team they were really kind of pumped about and excited about. So they have real talent, and it's hard to see them, you know, again, coming over cross country and taking down the Dogs. Just can't see it happening, but.
All right. Your pick. Round three.
Ooh, me. Oh yeah.
Still good value. Still good value in round three.
I'm going to go with the Cincinnati, Arkansas, another SEC in this one, a group of five matchup. Bearcats come to town September 3rd. And that's the opener, isn't it? I just didn't realize that was the opening weekend. Yeah, wow.
Week one.
So
week
look
one
at that. Hogs and Cats opening weekend. Cincinnati lost a ton from that team last year. And Arkansas returns a quarterback, obviously, who's had success. And they had a great non-win year last season. So be looking to build off of that. But I think it'd be fun to see what a replenished type of Luke Fickell team can do against an Arkansas team that, you know, probably will finish in the middle pack of the SEC. But that's an exciting one. Always exciting to see a really good kind of group of five team in one moving into the Power Five, like Cincinnati, to see what they can do on the road and, you know, SEC environment and all that.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I think Cincinnati's still going to be good. Like, I think they have that championship DNA kind of thing that coaches like to talk about. They've stockpiled good, solid recruiting classes. They develop players well. You know, they need a quarterback to step up. You lose a 4-year starting quarterback, and they're back up. The two guys they haven't decided yet, which I don't think is ever a great sign, but I think that they've got good players across the roster now. I don't think they will walk in and be outmanned at Arkansas.
All right, Pat.
All right. I'm going to take that Clemson-Notre Dame game at Notre Dame. I think, is it November 5th?
November 5th.
Yeah. Boy, you remember when they played there 2 years ago and it was COVID and, you know, it just was such a weird season. And that game felt like a real football game. Because the Notre Dame put like 30,000 in the stands and then they all rushed the field when Notre Dame won in double OT. It was like, oh, wow, real football atmosphere. I don't know if we'll get anything that good again, but I will be, you know, that both those teams, if they're doing what we think they're going to be doing, will be top 10 at that point. And somebody may get eliminated from the playoff race on that day, that night, probably in South Bend. So I'm definitely looking forward to going to that one, or at least watching it one way or the other.
Yeah, it should be a great one. That was the game Trevor Lawrence had COVID. Remember that? It
was, yeah, what that was DJ Uiagalelei played and played great. And everybody thought he was going to be the next great one. And
well, he's back. He got another chance. Intrigued at how this ACC scheduling rotation works. They're back playing twice in 3 years.
Yeah.
But hey, that's fine. All right. Here's one below the radar, except in the town that is hosting this, where all tickets are sold out and the get in price is $275, which is the second highest for that week. Week one. UNC, North Carolina, is visiting Appalachian State. This game I love. It will not have national title implications or playoff implications. But the fact that Appalachian State, which only defeated upset Michigan in 2007, like 15 years ago, not that long ago, has built its program up so fast that they get the flagship state school in their state to visit them in their little 30,000 seat stadium up in the hills is just awesome. I love this game. Love that it got scheduled. The two teams have only played once ever, 1940. The Tar Heels won 56-6. And now they're getting this going. $275, I said, to get in. I think I said Notre Dame OSU is almost 400. But absolutely love it. Appalachian State won 10 games last year. It's the biggest game ever in Boone. Probably.
Didn't they get Miami to play there a few years ago?
Really?
I don't know. I don't know. That would be big.
Still.
I just think it's Carolina. I mean, this is awesome. This is what I'd love to see more of. The bye games, let's go on the road, especially in state. So love this game. I think it'll be an absolutely wild scene in Appalachian State and Boone, North Carolina that weekend as the Tar Heels come for the first time ever.
Yeah. No, you know what? Look at North Carolina's schedule. They also go at Georgia State. Like, what are they doing?
Yeah,
they're playing two group of five teams on the road, and they might even be in succession. Let me find the schedule here.
And it's a few ACC teams do that.
It is.
Yeah.
It is in succession.
Yeah.
You go. And then they get Notre Dame at home.
Yeah. You go at App State, at Georgia State. I mean, it's just very strange. I don't know whether that's
putting all their buyout money into basketball.
Right. Bubba Cunningham saying we're not buying games here, what the deal is, or if that's also could be Mac Brown saying, hey, just get us a game in Atlanta. We need to go recruit Atlanta. We'll make some hay out of that Georgia State game. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, he ain't recruiting Boone.
No, he's not.
All right. We go on another round or what?
Oh, yeah. Round four. Right. This is where the character NFL draft.
Things are dicey now. Things are getting dicey. Like I'm like Googling. I'm trying to.
Aaron Hernandez gets drafted in the round four. Oh, we're surprised he fell to us. I mean, sure, he's probably a murderous psychopath, but other than that, the guy can play.
All right. I've got a good one here. So NC State, another ACC team going on the road to a group of five team at East Carolina to begin the season. Again, I don't know why all these ACC teams are playing road games against group of five teams, but
they're awesome. That's why.
but NC State, right? All the build up this year. I mean, they're like, what, top 15 enter the preseason rankings. A lot of expectation on Dave Doran and them and their staff. And they'll play East Carolina team that, you know, kind of reemerged last year, won 7 games, and it's at East Carolina. Hey, you never know. Maybe we're upset special week one, group of five territory, man. Look out.
There is an internet saying for North Carolina State about their NC State, which is basically them screwing things up. You know, when they get their hopes up, they find ways to screw it up. That would be the ultimate NC State if they go and lose at East Carolina. But that is a tricky game. It really is. This is East Carolina's best team in a while.
Yep.
Especially if they have a huge year in the ACC and they're like held out of the playoff because they lost to ECU.
Yeah, right. All right, I'm going to go to the loveliest little village on the plains in Penn State, Auburn. I don't think either team's going to be that great. But when you get an SEC school to host a Big Ten school or vice versa, there's a lot of pride on the line and bragging rights. And you come in and we'll show you how big it is here. You know, that was last year when Auburn played the whiteout at Penn State. This is the return game. And I was actually talking to Pat Kraft, the new AD at Penn State at Big Ten Media Days. We were talking a little bit about that game. And I said, just the sheer noise from the big screen there alone makes that place deafening. And then you put all the, you know, 90,000 fans going crazy. But that is the loudest big screen I've ever seen. You got the beautiful grass. I mean, it'll be a really good scene. I don't know whether it'll be a good game, but I'll be interested to watch that. I think it's like the third week of the season.
September 17th, yeah. I think Auburn's the most underrated place to go if you're looking for a weekend to go watch a game.
It is cool. It is very cool.
They don't do the Eagle anymore, though, do they? Do they do the Eagle still?
I think so.
Well, they grounded the Eagle?
Well, they've had a couple of cases where the Eagle's like flown off and stuff.
Yeah, but, or flown into things.
It's like a lot of their coaches.
Flown into the building, you know?
Yeah, run into like a window and stuff. But
oh, no.
Yeah, but no, I think the Eagle's still flying.
All right. War Eagle.
Yeah, listeners, please.
Even
tell
without
us
the Eagle, it's pretty awesome. Hard to find a place to stay, but
it is. Yeah. It's an awesome game day experience. I agree.
I think people go, SEC, I want to see Bama, I want to see LSU, right. I want to see, and they're all great, Tennessee, but I just think Auburn's phenomenal, and I don't know that you're missing anything if you just go to Auburn, and not that impossible to get to. It's not that far from Atlanta.
Yeah, it's an easy drive from Atlanta, or stay in Columbus, Georgia with me. That's right.
Pat loves Columbus, Georgia.
That's right.
It is an underrated town, too, or not rated.
I got some Eagle news.
Oh, okay.
Well, this is last year, but Auburn retired the Bald Eagle Spirit from the pregame flights. So he retired last year. I don't know if they've got a new one that's going to be flying this year, but they didn't. It looks like they didn't do it last year because the Eagle retired for whatever reason.
They better have another one. Next Eagle up. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, Sir Big Spurs on like his fourth, and then he retired.
Yeah, man, we got a lot of bird turnover in the SEC.
Oh, Spirit had an injured wing. His injured wing in beak. Due to her permanent beak damage, she was treated and found to be non. Yeah, she couldn't do it. She couldn't hack it. She couldn't play through the injury, you know? So, yep.
Medically retired.
I'm going to go with this one. It's one that's tough to put aside, but I'm going to go with Oklahoma at Nebraska September 17th. There will be no helium-filled balloons, at least not handed out. Private citizens can bring their own helium balloons. But, again, a classic rivalry that never should have gone away. Sooners return to Lincoln. New coach in Oklahoma. It's a big game for them. Nebraska played great last year in this game. Everyone thought they would get killed down in Norman. They rose up and accounted well for themselves. This is one of many this season, but this is a career game for Scott Frost.
Yeah.
Win this game and you're probably sticking around.
Yep.
And it probably says you got the team to stick around. Get smoked. You may not make it to October.
That's the thing. They got that bye week after that open date.
Right.
That could be the time. If they're 2-2, we discussed that. It could be curtains. Yeah.
We'll talk more Nebraska next week before their week zero game against Northwestern. But just a great scene. It should be a great classic game, and I'm looking forward to it. So good fourth round pick. All right, Ross, round five.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
So still some good ones on the board.
I've still got four possible.
I'm going with an unusual one here. We're going to go with Mr. Deion Sanders because, Deion, right? Primetime. He will not be in primetime, although the Jackson State Tigers will be playing 2 p.m. afternoon kick against Florida A&M in the Orange Blossom Classic in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium September 4th. It's actually the Sunday before Labor Day. So it's the game that will come before LSU Florida State on Sunday night. But Florida A&M in Jackson State, throw the HBCUs a little something there.
There we go.
And we talked about it earlier, Travis right? Hunter. Deion, next FBS coach somewhere probably. So big game for the Fighting Deion Sanders.
Should be a very good game. And then you have the bands at halftime.
That's right. Yeah. That's even better. That's right.
Sonic boom of the South, baby. Jackson State.
I've never been to a football game where at kickoff, it's virtually empty. At halftime, instead of everybody going in and it being empty, at halftime, it's the most full that it is. I've never seen a game where the halftime, it's the most full the stadium is. And then after the bands leave, everybody leaves and it goes empty again. It was awesome.
Well, Coach Prime has given you a reason to be there for the whole game.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. He's been tearing it up. That's a big game for him when it comes to, you know, next job. We talked about FBS power, him getting a Power 5 job. I mean, that's yep. probably, I mean, I'm not an expert anymore on HBCU football, but I would think that's one of their going to be one of their toughest games.
Well, Matt, you're right. The, like the Sunday standalone audience will be a nice boost for them, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, and there's no – there. That's the week before the NFL. There's no NFL that Sunday. Mm. Like their exhibition games, their final exhibition is over. So,
and they get Florida A&M after coming off of a game against North Carolina. Week zero, Florida A&M in North Carolina. So,
all right, I'm going to go to the end of the season, and I'm going to take Notre Dame USC. We will see. I will be fascinated just to see what shape both those teams are in. First year, new coaches. USC, all the excitement, all the hype, all the transfers they brought in with Lincoln Riley. How are they doing? Are they still viable? Are they having a great season? Are they having a mediocre season? Are they having a bad season? And then same with Notre Dame. You know, where do they stand by then? And that's always such a great game. I love that game in Los Angeles, Thanksgiving weekend. It's one of those usually, you know, wherever you live, the weather is nowhere near as good as it is watching that game in Los Angeles. And the grass is beautiful. And travelers running around the horse and the song girls are out there. I mean, it's just got all that stuff that makes it so visually appealing. So hopefully the game's good too, but give me that one.
I am sure there is no accuracy to this, but so naturally I'll say it. It just feels like when they have night games at the LA Coliseum, that the helmets reflect the light better than any other stadium. I swear. It's like...
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not.
It's like Hollywood or so. I don't know what, but they pop off that golden helmet. And then the Trojan helmet's fantastic. Like, it's just, maybe it's the clear night. I don't know. There's no more smog in LA anymore. I don't know. But it just we need feels analytics like the Coliseum has better, like, production qualities or something. I don't know.
This would be one of those stupid big game boomer lists. Best stadium lighting. USC won.
USC UCLA is always like, I don't know how they don't get all the recruits when everyone else is slogging it out in gray skies. And even the SEC, the weather sucks. And then it's like the U.S. It's like Wizard of Oz, right? Like all of a sudden you pop out of the black and white and you're like, holy crap, look at this. All right. I'm going to go September 4th, Florida State versus LSU in New Orleans. What's Brian Kelly got? What could he do? This will be as huge of a one way or another. This performance by LSU will be overreacted to by Tiger fans.
Oh, yes.
And then there's FSU trying to fight for their bit and Mike Norvell trying to fight for what his program can be. So it's in the Superdome, should be sold out, should be rowdy. Two big brands, standalone game on Sunday night. Really looking forward to seeing what they got.
You took mine, damn it.
Round six of Tom Brady round. Let's end it with this. Speed round, because we're going to end up with UMass versus New Mexico State again.
Speed round,
good call. Who's number 131?
Good call.
Have we said Oklahoma and Nebraska?
I did, yeah. I took them in 12th overall.
You took that one. You took that one. That's right. All right, well, I guess I'll go with give me a little Baylor at BYU. Action.
Good one.
Gotcha,
huh? Yeah. And future Big 12, Big 12 opponents. This will be, I think this is the second of like a home and home. Did they play last year? They played a couple years ago, maybe at Baylor.
They did. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Bears offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, former BYU offensive coordinator. So he'll be returning to the old stomping grounds in Provo, and should be a good one. Baylor, you know, high expectations after winning the Big 12. So, and BYU's been getting it rolling pretty good. So, should be a good one.
I am glad you mentioned BYU because they have a really cool schedule.
They host Baylor.
Yeah, they host. Yeah. They're at Arkansas. They play Notre Dame in Las Vegas. They're at Oregon. They're at Stanford. They're at Boise State. That rivalry is always really good. I mean, they were all over at South Florida and all that, but there was a whole bunch. Like, they could, if we kept going, they'd get like four of the next seven picks or something. because they're all those games are really good. So, and that I was thinking too that BYU Boise State rivalry, sneaky good rivalry out west. Always really good games, and they're always screwing each other's seasons up. That's, one of them's got it popping, and then they play, and it goes all wrong. But Arkansas at BYU is a great game. So,
yep,
good on BYU to really play hard there. All right, yep. Pat, your final all right. pick.
Yep, speed round here. Tennessee at Pittsburgh.
Good one.
I think Tennessee's going to be pretty good this year and has a chance for a very fast start. Would not be shocked if they're undefeated when Alabama comes to Knoxville. But to do that, you've got to win at Pitt. And Pitt's pretty good. You also have to win at LSU. But that's the first big game to find out whether Tennessee is up to the hype that they are starting to accrue.
All right, I'm going to go with an old standby. Everything great about this game, except sometimes the teams and always the name. The Cy-Hawk is the worst name in rivalry game.
It is terrible.
It's so uncreative. It's the most Iowa of creativity levels.
What should we name it? How about the meat sandwich, Dan? Come on.
I mean, you could have it the water bowl. You could bring Bush Light in. Natty Light, right, wide right, Natty Light, Children of the Corn. There's a million great names, but you bozos go with Cy-Hawk, or I would have put you in round three. Drunk factor, very high.
Very high.
Quality of football, who knows? I actually think Iowa's going to be pretty good this year. I thought they were last year, too.
Yeah, as usual. You know, they do as what usual. They do. They do what they do.
Get a new name, Cy-Hawk. It's the Morgantown public transportation of rivalry names. It only fits 60 on the train at a time. All right, let's get to the real rivalry that keeps bubbling up. Kentucky basketball versus Kentucky football. We touched on it last week when John Calipari made a crack about. He's desperate to get a new practice facility because the one that, you know, John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins and
Anthony Davis,
Davis and Devin, but they couldn't practice. They didn't practice. It wasn't nice enough for them. So we need a new practice facility at Kentucky. He's a little chapped that Kentucky football got a $200 million one. Soccer, a bunch of others got some real baseball. He's really happy they all have great facilities. He'd be really happy if he had one. He declared, reminded everyone that Kentucky is a basketball school. And he said, I love our football program. I hope they win 10 games and go to a bowl, which was, you know.
Yes. Condescension wheel talk. At its finest. Yeah.
Mark Stoops has replied numerous times, once on social media, another at a press conference. Kentucky football players just wondering if Kentucky football ever lost to St. Peter's. Mitch Barnhart, the AD there, decided to go political conspiracy theory and blame the media
for things that were 100% created by his own coaches, by the way.
Yeah. Kyle Tucker, the Kentucky beat writer for The Athletic, apparently did the unpardonable sin of quoting John Calipari accurately.
I saw like one of the Kentucky beat writers, Pat, you may have seen this, like, I think quote tweeted Barnhart's comments and said, he talked about how excited he was there. I guess he's there. This beat writer, forgot who it was now. Really excited about covering the game in the Bahamas. And he was like, we're not the ones who called us to we didn't call John Calipari to our hotel room to lambast the football program. He called us to his hotel room to lambast the football program. But blame us. Yes, that's right.
Sure. It's all the media.
Makes perfect sense. That's right.
Yeah, believe me, the guys who had the boondoggle of covering the basketball exhibition games in the Bahamas, they weren't working for more work.
That's right.
For sure. They're going, you know, I really feel like I want to write 5 more stories here.
Why go to the beach when you can write stories about the football coach and basketball coach stabbing each other?
Okay. The media, we deserve lots of blame on many, many subjects. I'm not here, but come on.
Not this one.
Pat, where are we at as our Commonwealth resident? I feel that you're really enjoying this one.
Oh, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Yeah. Here's the amazing thing about this to me. Mitch Barnhart is one of the most boring athletic administrators in America. Okay? He is very efficient.
By design.
Yeah, exactly. He's very efficient, very boring. Think of this. He's been an SEC AD for 20 years. He is the dean of SEC ADs. He's been the chair of this basketball selection committee. Does anybody ever hear anything from him? Ever? No, he never makes any headlines. He just does his job, and he does it really well. They are a top 10 overall athletic program. He's made good hire after good hire. He supports his coaches. He gets them the facilities, whatever they need, and they do well. So for Mitch Barnhart to call a press conference and to come out and not say, this is all, you know, we're fine here, kumbaya, kumbaya. No, no, no. He came out and he made it very well known that he was ticked at John Calipari for bringing this up. And that's where I think my opinion is that he is frosted at Cal for basically taking this moment where his popularity is the lowest it's ever been. He followed 9-16 with a first-round loss to St. Peter's to publicly whine for 5 months now about facilities and say, we need a new practice facility, because Cal started beating that drum very shortly after they lost to St. Peter's, and he hadn't stopped. And I think if you are Mitch Barnhart's like, dude, we are paying you a Sultan's fee, and you're at Kentucky, and you're not doing the job quite up to the salary we're paying you, I really don't want to hear it from you about facilities. Go win some games, and then we'll talk. That was my takeaway from this. And I think Cal has gotten a little bit of a lesson, so to speak, in, things aren't the same as they were when I was going to Final Fours and competing for national championships all the time. Now, they may this year. This year may flip the narrative again, and it's back to Cal is on top of his game. But right now, he's kind of been put in his place.
Certainly was the AD was on the side of the football and not, and as they should be. I mean, it's all Calipari has admitted he was stupid, said something stupid. Says when he gets back from Bahamas, he'll talk to him. About, it seems like Mark Stoops is not returning his call. It's pretty funny. He'll get back. Mark and I will sit down. It'll be all fine. We'll see now. Yeah. We'll see. It's a little Youngstown in Mark Stoops still.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not going. Look, I continue to say this. This is, I know that Mark Stoops does not want to be, does not help in recruiting to be classified as a basketball school, especially when your basketball coach is saying Alabama and Georgia are football schools, when those are the kind of guys you need to beat in recruiting.
Right.
To take that next step. I get all that. However, the fact this is even being discussed is a compliment of great measure for Mark Stoops and what he's done.
Yeah.
The fact that this is even a topic. Because during the, say, Joker Phillips era, there was no one going, hey, I want, is this a football school? Like, hey, the fat Calipari's a little rankled, right? He usually punches up. He didn't really have far. There's not a whole lot of places to punch up for him anymore. But the fact that he's in on this, hey, I take it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a compliment. May not be the compliment you want, but it's got everyone talking about how great a job Mark Stoops has been doing.
I can't believe it, Pat, to go back to your point about Mitch Barnhart. Like, I can't believe that they appeared at a press conference that over this. I don't know. It reeks to me like you're just pouring more fuel on the fire, and the story is enlivened another couple of days. It was bizarre, but I guess that speaks to maybe how, I guess, angry and frustrated that he is. Yeah, that was really kind of shocking to me. You don't see that. I feel like you don't see that very often.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch Barnhart says something interesting once a decade. And, I mean, like,
this
for him to go out of his way to basically continue this debate and get his two cents in was pretty remarkable to me.
Well, Cats went 10-3 last year.
Yeah, number 20 in the brand new AP poll.
Yeah, AP poll came out as we taped here.
Yeah, preseason ranking first time. Is that what they said?
That's what I heard. First time preseason.
Yeah. Ever?
I believe so.
Like, really? Hey,
I mean, yeah.
I mean, Kentucky football. Era. Well, yeah, but Bear Bryant was the 50s. I don't even know whether they did preseason polls.
Well,
back
late
then.
During, what's his name? He's retired now. His last couple seasons were good. I thought they would have been ranked in the preseason his last couple of seasons. But
Hal Mummy?
No. Rich Brooks.
I mean, last Brooks.
3 years, they won 8 games, I think. I feel like But yeah, Kentucky is ranked. This is from Cat's Paws, 247 site covering Kentucky. Kentucky is ranked in the preseason coaches poll for the first time since the poll began. The Wildcats are ranked in the preseason AP poll for the first time since 1978.
Hmm.
So okay. First time ever coaches poll, first time since 1978. In the AP, who? 1978 Kentucky team. What was the 1977 Kentucky team? Must have been, I don't even know.
It was really good. No, it was really, yeah. They were like 11-1.
Okay.
But they were on probation.
Oh.
Fran Kersey cheating. So, but yeah, that like they beat Penn State. I mean, they were really good that year.
All right. This story is something else. If you are hang out on the TikTok.
We know you perhaps. Do, Dan.
Big I do.
I know
I'm
you
I'm a
do.
TikTok part of TikTok community. It's great.
TikTok community.
The last couple of years, TikTok at this time of year has been overrun by something called Bama Rush.
Hi, I'm Maddie, recruitment vice president.
I'm Kaylee, chapter president.
I'm Jean Marie, formal recruitment chair.
We've been waiting for you all summer, and we're so glad you're finally here.
Bama Rush is the tradition at the University of Alabama, number one in the AP poll, where the incoming freshman women, female students, show up a week early and rush all the sororities. And it is an elaborate system. You spend an entire week going to all the different sororities you want, and you try to win favor from them, and they win favor of you. And at the end, everyone ranks their choices. There's some process where, you know, like say you pick this one and they pick you one, bang, you're done. And it could be three or five deep. I'm not, you know, TikTok only explains so much. I don't know, nor do I care. But it is a massive deal. And the TikToks of the Bama Rush phenomenon, the university makes everyone wear basically the same outfit, couple outfits to try to cut down on, like, I don't know, dress to impress. But that doesn't really work because then it all becomes the accessories.
Mm-hmm.
And so this entire thing is just a week of synchronized dancing, hair extensions, Cartier bags,
Gucci shoes,
shoes, yeah. Makeup upon makeup upon makeup. It is the single most absurd thing. HBO Max is apparently working on an undercover documentary on this. This year, they did a New York Times story on Sunday of this young Alabama student named Marina Anderson, who was dismissed from rushing any sorority because she was accused of having a secret microphone on her. The Time story is absolutely amazing.
It is unbelievable. It's horrifying, but it's amazing. I suggest reading it.
If you have a young daughter in college, maybe not.
This is the most vapid and ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. I will say this. There are undoubtedly extremely smart merit scholars and future doctors in these pools, but these women going crazy to try to make this one or that. People were declining to talk to the New York Times or even be seen but with the New York Times because they might get banned. One woman ran the other way when the Times tried to talk to her.
And she laced up her high heels, it says, right? She was like,
yeah,
whatever brand shoes she had, it was like, so-and-so laced up her brand shoes and ran the other way and said, I got to get to a party. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. One woman refused to have her hand photograph. They were going to take a picture of the jewelry she was wearing because she thought her fingernails could be identified by the Alabama sorority, the Alabama Panhellenic Association Gestapo, which apparently would ban her.
What's Nick Saban's involvement in all this? Anything? Someone should ask him about it in a post-practice.
Oh my god!
Post-practice press conference.
Make sure it's the last question, because it will be the last question.
Yes. Yes.
So Alabama, on the final day, decision day for Bama Rush, they actually go to Bryant-Denny Stadium and fill the stadium up. Over 2,500 women went for the sororities this year. And the official system sends out an email to anyone who shouldn't show up at the stadium. Basically, no sorority picked you. Okay. Now 91.66% got a bid.
Thank
so about 211 women, I guess, are just the losers of this of this thing.
Wow. When you're told not to show up to Bryant-Denny Stadium, that's harsh.
Do not show up at Bryant-Denny Stadium for rush day. So there's 211 women that basically went to Alabama to be part of Bama Rush because this has become a huge recruiting tool for the university. This is like huge in Europe, everywhere. These women went to Alabama so they could rush a sorority and got told nobody wants you. This is like Mike Gundy running people off. I mean, what? Ouch. Ouch. So the lucky 2,345 fill up a part of the stadium. Each are handed an envelope. They all open in unison, get their, you know, their whatever sorority. I don't even know any of them. And then they all run as fast as they can in their high heels to the sorority house and they're in. The pictures. Actually, they're wearing sneakers. They show up in.
Okay.
There's a picture here. This is the Tuscaloosa News. Bid day, it's called. And they charge out of the stadium faster than the Crimson Tide and run to Sorority Row. This thing is bonkers. Now, Alabama, this is like the most unlikely yet greatest recruiting tool for this university. The university is now 57.9%, it's actually probably higher this year. This was 2021, are from out of the state of Alabama.
That's unbelievable.
Almost 60% of the school comes from somewhere other than Alabama, and 58% of the student body are women.
Wow.
And it's getting bigger because of Bama Rush. Now, yeah. This may explain some of Nick Saban's recruiting success. Gentlemen.
Come to school 58%.
First off, you're Alabama football players. You ought to be able to find a date, but we almost outnumber them. They almost outnumber us 2-1 here.
Yeah.
Pat, your thoughts on Bama Rush, because the world needs to know what you would think of this tremendous effort down in Tuscaloosa.
The world does need to know. And as you said, I'm sure there are many, you know, smart, driven, conscientious, kind women involved in this. But I did, after reading that New York Times story today, thank my daughter for not ever going to a sorority. And my sons, by extension, for not joining fraternities. Think of it this way. Think of the level of security and paranoia about talking to the media at Alabama Sorority Rush versus, say, the United States government, where there's leaks all over the place. You can find somebody in any department of the government to tell you something. Oh, but now, I mean, look, at the Kappa Kappa Gamma House. We need
the Panhellenic Association to run the government. Remember, they cheated at the election a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah,
they campaign fraud.
Yeah. But no, can you please take yourselves a little more seriously down there in sorority land? Oh, my God.
Brett, play the song. This is the Zeta Phi Beta Rush song that came out this week or recently. Actually, maybe last year. Now, they pride themselves on their high GPA.
You a Zeta at the University of Alabama. Please come to the stage for a roll call.
Queens of the road, check. Good grades on exam, check. You can't go a day, check. Without saying slam, check. Where them Zetas at, yeah. Where them Zetas at, yeah. Where them Zetas at, yeah. Where them Zetas at. Shout out to Malik, yeah. Shout out Mama Dell, yeah. Hardest on the road, yeah. Top house every year, yeah. Where them Zetas at, yeah. Where them Zetas at.
All right. They're at the Zeta house. That is Young 036 on that.
Okay.
I think if they're getting residuals off of TikTok, they're making gazillion dollars. I don't know. Where them Zetas at? Ross, you're a resident Southerner. Explain this, please.
Well, you know what? as crazy as it is, when I was reading that story, I was kind of like, yeah, makes sense. Because just, well, being around it, like I had my sister rushed at a couple of different colleges. And yeah, there are stories. And I, not a whole lot of it really surprised me, as crazy as that sounds. That is the, I think that's in general, the SEC sorority rush thing. You know, like I think at every SEC school, sorority rush will probably have those kind of stories and is done somewhat similarly. I know at, yeah, at a lot of them that I'm aware of, they are done in a very similar fashion.
Well, good luck to all. It says you have to pay over $4,000 a semester to be in the sorority.
That's the other thing, man. That's not, I mean, counting, it's not a small amount of money.
That, and that does, they just sort of also clothing, jewelry, hair, makeup, which, I mean, that had to have been $4,000 for the week.
Yeah, and we've got a different function every month, and then you got to go to the other functions at the fraternities. Now, like, how much money are you spending just on your social life as a fraternity or sorority person? Anyhow, I'll get off my lawn, my own.
There is a place called the Pants Store down in Tuscaloosa. The Pants Store is a boutique clothing shop that supplies the outfits that are mandated by the university to wear during the week. And they had enormous, enormous international publicity and promotion due to Bama rush on TikTok. And so the Pants Store, which obviously sells more than pants, is like, they're selling this thing called the Queen of Sparkles, which is a type of dress or skirt or something. And this place is making bank off of this. You think they sell like houndstooth down there, like the bookstore all over the world. People want this stuff. It, absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. Hashtag Bama rush.
Let's send the Wetzel girls to Alabama. Let's go, we're man. Good. Get them there. Get them into rush week.
You see that one sorority, the Phi Mu? They call it the White House.
No, but I mean, yeah. There's a lot of really swanky, nice, nice.
I'd
houses.
Live in that thing. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, sorry to those other 211. Somehow didn't have it.
Yeah. When you're not invited to Bryant Denny, I do feel for you guys.
That is the worst. Welcome to college. No one likes you here.
You come back for a game at Bryant Denny.
Yeah, right. Pay for your tickets.
Ouch. All right. That's our pod. We have some good stories from Pat and I were together last weekend. We're not going to get to them today. We're going to get to them.
Yeah, some good stories.
A good gambling victory by one of us.
Disputed still.
Not disputed. We will get to that on later this week. Thursday, I believe, we'll be back. But I appreciate everyone listening. Season's coming. Get ready. Talk to you later.